And welcome to this very special edition of Talk Wrestling here on the Jeff Meacham Network. I am, of course, Jeff Meacham, but if you're on the Jeff Meacham Network, you probably already know that. What you don't know, if you didn't read the description, and if you're not reading, then you're not educated, and shame on you, is that I'm being joined on this special Talk Wrestling by two very special people to review what was a tremendous show. I don't know when this is going up, so I'm going to go on the assumption that I'm putting this up Monday, January 13th, with the second segment of the show being a Impact Hard to Kill review. If I don't record that tonight, then we're going to go ahead and just review NXT UK TakeOver Blackpool 2. In any event, joining me for the Blackpool review, first off, she is a member of Team No DQ. She is a member of Team Aftermatch. She is the closest team member, as far as I know, in proximity to me at this point, because all y'all moved across the country. Y'all suck. What's up?
Hey there. Hey, I'm doing good so far. Just, man, thank you for having me on this podcast. I mean, I'm like so ready to talk about this incredible pay-per-view.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm not sure if you or Kyle, Interstate Kyle, is farther away. I'll have to do the map out when I have more of an opportunity and less time to waste. Noah, Mr. Foster, sir, the Simple Man is here with us as well, all the way from you're in the Midwest, am I correct?
Yes, that's correct. Right here in Toledo, Ohio.
Toledo, Ohio. There you go. Everybody's in Ohio. Where? Virtue's there. You're there. My dad was born there. It's a great state.
Yeah.
Good baseball.
Yeah, good baseball, good football, because my family, for a while, they followed the Buckeyes. But me, I just keep to wrestling. I'm the anomaly in the family.
Hey, you know what? I am a wrestling person by and large, but I do love me some Ohio State Buckeyes. That's for damn sure. So, but again, that's not why we're here. We are here because, depending on when y'all hear this, NXT UK had an amazing takeover this weekend. Blackpool 2.0, if you will. Only five matches, but you know what? The five-match formula seems to work for NXT and NXT UK. Each match very well-paced. The shortest match was the opener, and even that went almost 9 minutes. So, you know, not a bad way to kick off the year as far as WWE, quote-unquote, pay-per-views or takeovers or whatever you want to call it. The first match, actually, you know, I'm looking at the results here. None of the results really surprised me or surprised anybody on my preview panel that we had on Friday, except for the tag team ladder match. And we'll get there, as we will. But let me start with the first match, which was, of course, Eddie Dennis getting the victory over Trent Seven. Now, on Friday, I called it would be a clean victory, but it would be a hard-hitting, often heelish affair from Eddie, and I think that's pretty much how it went down. Would you agree, Noah?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I understand Eddie Dennis, he had to get the win back because it was his return from injury, but the way he went about it, he definitely left his mark on Trent Seven, not only with the exposed turnbuckle spot, but the whole power bombing on a stagehand to the floor with an awkward landing. But, I mean, dirty tactics aside, some would say, I'm glad he got the win. And, hey, why not make your mark against one member of British Strong Style?
Exactly. And I feel, you know, that you know, I even said this on Friday. It's like, you know, it'll be a heel approach, but the victory itself will be clean in and of itself. And that, you know, he didn't deliberately put Trent into the turnbuckle. It just happened. So he got the win however he could. I thought it came off really well. Cindy, what did you think of this match?
Honestly, this match was a great start of this pay-per-view. However, I do wanted to point out about Eddie Dennis's ring gear, especially his incredible badass dragon mask that he wore when he was coming out. However, it kind of reminds me of Luchasaurus because of the color scheme. But I know that his gimmick is the Dragon of Wales. But besides that, I feel this match was a great start just to get Eddie Dennis picking up the W for this. It seems to me that I feel this match is kind of like any other regular match you saw on NXT UK. even though it did bring like a little bit of a pay-per-view quality of it, but overall it was just like your regular typical match just to showcase a heel versus a baby face. But the part where kind of like seemed kind of like an ouch moment was when Eddie Dennis did the razor's edge over the ropes to Trent Seven, where he landed brutally in the back of his neck, especially hitting to the step. That was kind of like, oh crap, is Trent okay? But regardless of that, it was an opener of the match.
Yeah, you very rarely see the razor's edge to the outside anymore, and that's why. I was surprised. I was surprised the second match went on when it did, only because the main event had to follow the tag team ladder match, which I think in hindsight may have killed the momentum for the main event only until the aftermath. The aftermath of the show, the main event, the end of the show really brought the heat back. But I think, unfortunately for Walter and Joe Coffey, the ladder match kind of cooled off their heat for the main event. And I feel that this next match, the women's championship match, should have gone on, you know, WrestleMania style between Rock Hogan and Triple H Jericho. I feel the women's match should have been in that fourth spot. I'm not trying to discount the women necessarily, but I think that the women's match leading into Walter and Joe would have been, okay, we cooled off from the ladder match. Now we're ready for some shit. So again, I mentioned this in chat, I believe to you directly, Sydney, but to the group en masse, nobody better than Triple H to know that a world championship match coming after the biggest match of all time is going to hurt the impact of your main event world title match. And I think that kind of happened here.
Yeah, exactly.
So again, maybe having, you know, the ladder match be the opener, which is a common practice nowadays, and really get the crowd bumping, then do Dennis and Trent, then do the women, or then do, you know, then the women, then do Tyler and Jordan, and then do the, you know, again, I'm nitpicking. I'm trying not to be a nitpicker in 2020 because I overanalyze everything in this business, and I'm very much a melter, and I hate that about myself. So anyway, Kaylee Ray with the very unsurprising victory here, retaining the championship over Toni Storm and Piper Niven. This match was much more heavy hitting than I figured it would be. Cindy, you're on the you're on the Toni train, am I right?
Well, I am though, but in the original predictions video that my best friend and fellow Aftermath Wrestling NXT member, Good Brother Chris, did read my pick that I went with Kaylee Ray instead of Toni Storm, because right. Toni Storm is issuing a challenge against Rhea Ripley for the NXT women's title at Wolf Collide. Right. However, for this match itself, I feel this match is beyond better than the last two NXT UK takeovers matches altogether. These ladies bring this high caliber to this match. But I want to say this, the real MVP for this match is actually Piper Niven. Piper did recover from a Bell palsy medical condition, which is a paralyzation through one of the side section of the face and some in the body. But the way that she delivered is very superb, especially she did a double cannonball, like one on the barricade towards Toni Storm and the other one towards the stair where Kaylee Ray is at. It's very, very incredible, to say at least. Like, I couldn't even able to like take down some notes during this match for these three ladies did impress the hell of a job, especially Kaylee Ray as well.
Yeah, no,
don't you agree, Jeff?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And no, I want to stay in the vein here of Piper Niven, because, you know, I have not yet gone to Jim Ross's Twitter, but he was very, very quick to point out firsthand how much Bell's palsy can affect somebody. It took him off TV more than once. And the fact that Piper Niven was in the ring in Blackpool doing what she was doing is nothing short of spectacular.
Oh, indeed.
No, again, you know, I when I had the boys on Friday's show, you know, they were very much, you know, pulling a Noah Foster, taking off their glasses when it comes to Toni Storm. But what are your feelings on this match and the way everybody came off in the end?
So, first off, it really surprised me that they had the women as the second spot in the card because I'm so used to the idea of the women going on before the men, per se. I always thought that the takeover formula would be okay, your tag would open up, then you have a singles men, then maybe the women could be third, then you have another men, then you have your main event.
Right.
But for where the women were at, I thought, in my opinion, and I've seen all the UK takeovers, this was the best UK takeover women's match to date. All three of these women brought it. I have nothing against Toni Storm. I respect her for all the work she's done in the wrestling business, from Stardom to the Mae Young Classic to Australia. But it looked like she really was taking a different turn here with her character, per se. She seemed so emotionally driven and desperate for the title, threatening to hit her friend with a chair at times, and at one point, even knowing that her friend cost her the match, and then that whole what is it? Her finisher on top of her best friend on Kaylee Ray to try and pick up the win. There was a lot of emotional dynamics driven in the story here. I thought the match overall was very well played. And yes, in my opinion, Piper Niemann definitely was MVP. You think about the fact from Prime Target, she lost one of her closest friends. She faced Bell's palsy, which of course JR knows firsthand. But she took to this match like a champion, no doubt. All three of these women brought it. I could not be more proud of this women's division as a fan of women's professional wrestling.
And again, you know, I'm always pointing out how much of a supporter I am of women's wrestling, and you know, I was the lone soldier, I think. Maybe Mike was, but on Friday, but you know, all three women really brought it all match long. It was only 13 minutes, a little bit over that, but it was every bit as heavy hitting as anything else we saw on the show. So well done, ladies. Next up, we had the man who led the charge early on in the UK division of NXT, Tyler Bate, with I feel is a surprise win over Jordan Devlin. And I know people are going to say, well, he was 0-2 going into TakeOver Blackpool. He was 0-2 on TakeOvers, and he's kind of cooled off since he lost the championship. And he and Trent went after the tag titles and didn't get those at the first TakeOver. But I honestly feel this really would have hurt Jordan Devlin had it not been such a spectacular freaking 23 minutes. Both of these guys brought it. These guys showed me exactly why I argue that, you know, the era of the big lumbering strong guy, Bruno, and you know, guys like that size is passé, because these two guys are not only, you know, cruiserweight or whatever you want to call it size, they're strong like bull, both of them. They both, you know, both these guys are quote unquote big strong boys, if you want to call it, you know, Jordan Devlin a boy. But these guys really brought it. Noah, let me start with you. Are you surprised that Jordan took the fall here, or did it make more sense than I originally thought it would?
Honestly, I was surprised when I figured about NXT UK and what direction they could take, especially with the title picture, which we'll get into for 2020. I honestly thought Jordan Devlin was going to break out here and get the win because Tyler Bate has done everything. I know that he's right now protégéing A-Kid, but I thought, for example, he was going to go off maybe to NXT on US soil. And yeah, both these big, strong boys, they brought what I thought was my match of the night.
Oh,
Counter
yeah.
for counter, incredible wrestling. This was Jordan Devlin's best match to date. But I must say that the finish really caught me by surprise. But I feel like in defeat, Jordan Devlin was protected because more people are now aware of how amazing this young man is. And you don't bet against the ace. I mean, he kicked out of a Tyler Driver, and Tyler Bate had to immediately follow up with a corkscrew splash for the win. Tyler Bate doesn't do that.
No, he doesn't. As a matter of fact, when he went up for it and started the twist, I'm like, he's doing Spinal Tap. I wonder if AJ Styles is watching today. Cindy, again, you know, we are all, you know, we are NXT. We are all NXT, whatever you want to call it. You know, we've all been watching this brand from the beginning, and these two guys have been stalwarts from Jump Street, you know, and they really brought it. And you know, Noah called it the match of the night. I would tend to agree with that. Are you all in on that as well?
I have to agree with both of you guys. I mean, the way that Tyler and Jordan did deliver, that is the prime example of what is British strong style is all about. Now, let me ask you, Noah and Jeff, the question. Do you consider Tyler Bate as the king of British strong style?
It's funny because during the last few matches, I was reading up on these guys and reading up on Progress and reading up on, you know, Walter's history. I had forgotten Walter was a PWG champion. I had no idea because I had not been to PWG show in long enough to not know that Walter was there, put it that way. I think the entire, you know, all three NXT, WWE, excuse me, UK champions and those guys, I think they're all a great, you know, a great example of what, you know, British strong style is and what, you know, the impact that British wrestling has had on American wrestling culture. And Tyler, again, I mentioned Tyler, he's 175 pounds with a brick in his pocket, standing with a water balloon in his hand. You know, he's just this little bitty thing, but he's strong as a fucking ox. And he's built like a bodybuilder. So I think he's probably the best example of British strong style on the brand at this point, because Pete Dunne is primarily competing here.
Indeed. Now, Noah?
When I think about British strong style, you got to look at the trifecta. That really summed it all. And basically, they owned Progress. Trent Seven, Tyler Bate, Pete Dunne. To this day, it still amazes me how much potential in-ring athleticism and overall just carry that Tyler Bate has. And I was all the way behind Pete Dunne, the inaugural tournament. But to answer your question, as far as the pillar of British strong style, after what I've seen him do in Cardiff with Walter and what I've seen him do with Jordan Devlin and what he and Pete Dunne did in the beginning, building this brand and bringing, like Jeff said, British wrestling to the American scene now as a forefront, I have to say that Tyler Bate right now, he's leading it the most. There's nobody right now that can rival this guy.
Yeah. And what was even more frightening, I think, I'm going to know when I say this. Not wrong person, stupid. And fat thumb. Hang on.
Take your time.
He just is about to turn 23 years old. He's not even 23 years old. Only upside.
Yeah, he won the inaugural tournament when he was 19 years old. Just a little guy from Dudley. And look at what he's accomplished, become, and what he can do. It's absolutely astonishing.
It's funny. I don't know if either of you were watching or even, you know, how old you guys, either of you were. But I remember back in 2003 when Rene Dupree won one half of the World Tag titles at 19 and they were touting him as the future. And I look back at that and I go, Rene Dupree is doing what now? And we've got Tyler Bate at 23 who won the title at 19. And that guy, I think, is a future. You know what? I dare say a future WWE World Champion.
I would agree 100%. I mean, people credit Daniel Bryan, per se, as one of the first guys in WWE to break the stigma of, oh, you don't have to be this super large bodybuilder guy or this top company guy to be the world champion. Hence his moment at WrestleMania 30, Miracle on Bourbon Street. It's small little guys like Tyler Bate, Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles, that have really gone to show that really you can put anybody could be capable in the wrestling industry to be a top tier guy.
Now, you know, I will say this, and I said this on New Year's Eve. I believe it was New Year's Eve. It may have been sooner that I said this, but you know, AJ Styles not being the superstar of the decade in the eyes of the no DQ polling situation was horse crap. He's been good for two decades.
Thank you.
He has been, in my opinion, and again, this is my show, it's my opinion, I'll sit on my soapbox, whatever. He has been the most consistent performer in the professional wrestling business since he debuted on the national scene 18 years ago.
Simple as that.
Agree.
There's nobody that can touch him. However, if Tyler Bate goes the way he goes, we may be talking about him in that same vein in 18 years.
Absolutely. I would love to see Tyler Bate versus AJ Styles. That's a dream match.
Yeah, and again, go ahead, Cindy.
I second that, or possibly Tyler Bate versus Daniel Bryan.
Yes. I mean,
now that Bryan's healthy and he's competing more regularly, you know, there's plenty of spots open on these Worlds Collide shows when they have the brands versus the brands. Just throwing it out there.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Look at Triple H.
Seriously, Hunter, you've got these guys under contract. You know, don't pull a WCW and bury them under the thumb.
Oh, Lord.
Oh. All right, so we move on to what was a hearkening back to days of yore for you youngsters in this call. But the Fatal 4-Way Tag Team Ladder Match for the NXT UK Tag Team Championship. This one also surprised me, only because I had the group on Friday talk me into Eichner and Barthel winning, even though I originally thought that Gibson and Drake would win. And in the back of my mind, I really thought that Gallus might retain, but I was convinced that Imperium would pull it out and go into Worlds Collide with all the gold. And sure as shit, man, Gallus pulled it out. God bless him. And I think they're still scraping Andrews and Webster off the mat.
Would not surprise me.
But, yeah, it's these eight guys really, really delivered in an environment that the UK brand is not universally known for. These eight guys really, you know, I mean, Tom Phillips, of course, you know, somewhere Edge and Christian Hardy Dudleys are, you know, shaking. You know, yeah, they are. But at the same time, those six guys are going, this is why we're retired or semi-retired.
Yep.
Because the bump the Welsh boys took onto Wolfgang, the table imploding under Mark Coffey, I sit back and I go, let's see, Edge may or may not be coming back, depending on which website you read today. Christian's retired. The Hardys are a mess. And Jeff is so hurt he has to drink himself to death to stay coherent. Devon's an agent. And Bubba is doing part-time stuff in Ring of Honor because he's not going to get his ass whooped every night anymore. So, yes, this was a great match. And I'm not discounting the fact that it was an amazing ladder match. But as somebody who literally grew up in the TLC era, I don't know if they set a precedent here or if they made their mark in history. If they made their mark in history and it's a one and done, then I'm all about it. And congratulations to all eight guys. But if they're going to keep upping the stakes in these tag team matches, then they're going to be not long for this brand and this world in wrestling, because they're going to end up beat the shit. Now, having said all that, Gallus retained, and even with Joe's loss in the main event, I think that Gallus looks stronger than ever going out of Blackpool with Mark and Wolfgang retaining. Cindy, would you agree?
I would agree with you to the extent, because originally my pick was Imperium because of the whole situation with the upcoming World Collide. But then seeing how Mark and Wolfgang did retain the title in a very incredible ladders match, and all these tag team participating in this match did a phenomenal job. This is like the whole new generation of what is supposed to come. But with that being said, seeing Gallus retain his title actually did deliver what is going to be the next threat for the only NXT UK brand itself. So for that, I can see like this is going to be like a more of a brighter future for these tag team alike. Despite with what's going on with Joe Coffey, but as a stable, they know that this is much a bigger threat.
Yeah, and honestly, I think with what happened in the main event and the aftermath, what we see this coming Thursday at 3 o'clock Eastern will be very telling, because I think that as much as Imperium was standing tall with Walter, we'll get into this in a second, but you know, with Imperium winning the main event, I think Gallus stood tall above everybody. Noah, you know, based on what happened in this ladder match and what happened after the main event, when, oh my God, that dreaded lower third on NXT show. Noah, where do you think Gallus stands now in their kingdom?
I think they still stand very high on the precipice of their kingdom, not only because they retained the tag gold, but because Joe Coffey, once again, he stole 2 years in a row now in Blackpool, the main event of the show. And this time he wasn't directly an afterthought because he wasn't hit in the face as we were hyping up for Worlds Collide. But first, focusing on this ladders match, when I think about this four-way ladder match, I think about what NXT here on U.S. soil set up as a precipice for their tag team division back at NXT TakeOver 25, another four-way ladder match that will stand the ages. Some people even call that, oh, this is the best ladder match in history. To this day, I will not say that something has surpassed WrestleMania 17. But today's generation of tag teams, they certainly brought it in this ladder match, and nobody left without scars.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're again, you know, like I said, they're picking up Webster and Andrews off the floor of the arena still. But all eight of these guys really gave it everything. And God bless Gibson and Drake, man. They are not ladder match guys. They are not high flyers. They are not, you know, they are wrestlers, man. And they went in there and said, you know what? If we're all in, we're all in. Hell with it. Let's do it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's why I didn't go with the high flyers per se for the win. Now, I understood the points of we got Worlds Collide coming around the corner, so you would think they would go for a gold versus gold faction here, so Imperium would pick up the titles. Necessarily, I pick Imperium, but that wasn't my reason for it. I'm just looking at NXT UK and really what's becoming a battle of faction warfare between Gallus and Imperium, because right now, that's really what's at the forefront of the UK brand. Zach Gibson and James Drake, they brought out something very different tonight, and I was thoroughly impressed. James Drake pulling off that ridiculous 360 splash off the elevated ladder. Zach Gibson taking ridiculous bumps through ladders. In my opinion, out of this match, when I look at these four teams, Gallus, Imperium, Grizzled Young Veterans, and Flashmore Webster and Mark Andrews, I was most impressed by the Grizzled Young Veterans, and I hope it does lead them to title contention very soon.
Yeah, I would love to see a segment at some point in the next week or two where the Grizzled Young Veterans are end up in front of Johnny Saint and he applauds them and shakes their hand and goes, "You've got my respect. Your title shot's coming."
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. So, there you go. So on to the main event. And to be honest with you, I expected this to go the way it went. These two beat the dog into one another.
Yeah.
Each other. And Walter literally beat Joe Coffey into. He just completely dominated him. Walter is this big Austrian grizzly bear that just rolls over everybody. And Joe Coffey's no small man, but nobody is big when you stand next to Walter. You could stand Andre the Giant next to Walter. Andre would still look down, but he'd be like, "Huh, interesting."
And I did actually meet Walter back in 2017 at an independent wrestling show. And yeah, he is pretty much really taller than me. That was so hard for me to get a selfie with Walter. Like, no joke.
Yeah, lucky. I hearken, you know, meeting people like the Big Show or like Andre or like Walter. I haven't met any of the three of them. I did meet the actor that played Chewbacca, Peter Mayhew, about 15 years ago. So I was much, you know, 15 years ago, I was still a teenager, and I shake Peter's hand. His hand was the size of my thigh.
Jeez.
This guy, it's like if he didn't have gigantism, I would be very surprised. He had health problems all throughout his life, and he retired from playing Chewbacca a few years ago before he passed away last year. but this guy is just you talk about a mountain of a man. He filled out that Chewbacca suit, every bit of it, man. He was just gargantuan. And he reminds me a lot of Walter, because when you see Walter on TV, when he's walking down the aisle or when he's doing an interview or whatever, you don't really see the presence. Like, you see the presence, but you don't really understand the scope of how big and how tall he is. But when he stands next to Joe Coffey, when he stands next to, you know, bigger guys on the main roster, you go, shit.
I mean, we saw firsthand that face-to-face-to-face confrontation between Walter, Braun Strowman, and Drew McIntyre. I was like, can this triple threat become an actual match? And Walter still was the biggest among the three.
Yeah, and it's like, again, I have not a selfie, but, you know, I for it. But
I wanted to pick you back for what I said. It's actually 2018, not 2017. So I kind of botched on that a bit. So morning, people. So just want to put it out there.
Yeah, I met Drew McIntyre at SummerSlam Access 2011 when he was still babyface Drew, as far as his facial hair. And he's a very, very tall man himself. The tallest guy that I've met that I'm aware of, and I could be wrong because I've met so many people over the years, Wade Barrett, Stu Bennett from NWA Power, the former Bad News Barrett. There's a picture. I'll actually post it when I post this show, whenever I post this show, when I have a comparison of just how big Wade Barrett is. He's just a mountain of a man too. Anyway, we're going to the weeds here. So Walter, you know, they pound, ground and pound all the way through. Walter power bombs him, chops his back, power bombs him again, puts him in the sleeper. And to my surprise, Joe doesn't pass out. He taps out. Did this surprise you, Cindy?
I wasn't even surprised that he used that sleeper hold as part of a submission finisher. I was expecting like something else to it, to the mix. Even though with this match itself, like, it was kind of like a bit of a cool down match because we just had two incredible match in that card. And you notice like one of them has to be the one that the crowd is kind of like into it, but not into like a full engagement.
Right.
So having this finisher itself, to me, it's kind of seems to be a bit predictable to say. But
I agree that the finish of Joe losing is predictable, but what I'm saying is I was surprised he actually did the act of tapping out.
Right, which honestly it's like, okay, he tapped out and what's next? That's what I was like waiting for that, because for me it's just the match itself, it's kind of like a little bit throw up in my end, but that's just me.
Right. I mentioned this during the other review, part of the review. It's like, you know, they had so much high, climb, roller coaster going up. And then during the main event, they almost have to come down because there's no cool down. There's no, you know, women's match or non-important singles match or non-intense singles match between two matches. They went from an intense 23-minute, you know, for lack of a better term, number one contenders type match to a tag team ladder match to the main event. There was no time to breathe.
Exactly. And you kind of expect that, well, this main event will actually deliver. But all I can say is this is just a pretty much a good showcasing match itself, especially for just one of the prestigious title, the WWE UK title.
Yep.
I mean, it's just like your typical old hoss fight.
Yeah, let's exactly. Put it out. So, Noah, I'm gonna start with you here because you know we all are a part of the NXT team, and we all know what happens when they show a lower third on an NXT show. Imperium stands up, you know, the Barthel and Eichner are iced down from the ladder match. They're posing, and you hear the crowd buzzing. You hear the crowd buzzing. And I'm thinking to myself, where are they? Where are the black and gold guys? Where are they at? Boom, there they are. Undisputed, they are. Comes out of the crowd, guzzles Imperium, just completely obliterates them. I don't know which one of them Roddy Strong hit, but he delivered his finisher on top of the barricade there, laid him out. You know, I'm pretty sure it was Wolf, actually. Eichner and Barthel were trying to get in there to save Walter. They kept, you know, cutting him off. And Red Dragon holds Walter, and Adam Cole gives him the last shot. They stand tall. Undisputed Era pose, and we go off the air. Holy shit moment or holy fuck moment?
Oh, definitely holy fuck. I'm speaking as a Christian man. Holy fuck. If you got Undisputed Era, shock the system for a reason. There's a reason I own all their gear and have Undisputed Era side place in my NXT title. I love this, and I had a fear that this was going to happen because we all know the next time that we got – hey, I'm just calling us. I see it. The next time we have NXT UK, it is Worlds Collide. Now that we got the takeover done, we have to prepare for the next big event under the NXT brand because NXT, NXT UK, it's all NXT. So, right. Yeah, holy fuck, I'm glad this happened, and I loved it. Now, yeah. To go back on the match, though, a little bit, I was actually surprised by the finish because think about it. The first time Walter won the title, he won it off a splash. The second time Walter successfully kept the title, he clotheslined from hell, basically, Tyler Bate. This time, it was his first submissions victory in his NXT UK career. And Joe Coffey, to his credit, he didn't pass out. He didn't tap out, which I don't think made him look weak. This match was not a match. It was a war coming off what some would call match of the year candidate, looked on by Triple H, Regal, Johnny Saint. Then you had a cacophony of wood, metal, and broken bodies with that four-way ladder match. And then you just had an all-out slugfest where you compare him to the Bear. Hey, I saw the Revenant. The Bear won. Guess what? Walter won. And then, of course, you had your holy fuck moment where the black and gold invades from the U.S. and they invade the U.K. It's 2001 all over again, but in my opinion, four times better. And that's undisputed. Loved it.
Yes. And yeah, it's funny you mentioned having all their gear. My keys for the longest time were just, you know, a collection of crazy keychains. In the last year, I've had my Disneyland entrance keychain sign and my Sorcerer Mickey plush keychain. The Christmas gift the NXT team all received is now prominently on my keychain because it's undisputed and because it was from the heart, but it has the Undisputed Era logo on it. I could have, oh, what's that? What does that mean? Because I'll be opening bottles, you know, at parties or whatever. Oh, what's that from? I start my spiel.
I love that bottle opener. I use it all the time for my IBC root beer bottles. I love it.
You drink IBC root beer?
Yes, I do.
No shit.
I haven't tried it yet.
What's that?
I have not tried that particular root beer yet.
It is a must. Okay, funny. Okay, brief little into the weeds here before we get on the lower third here. I'm in U.S. history class in high school. I think it was my junior year. Junior year. We're studying the Old West. So part of our Old West thing is we have a saloon day where we can bring in, you know, things to quote unquote gamble with. We dress in Western style. We have a bar, quote unquote bar set up, and we can bring whatever non-alcoholic beverages we're allowed to bring. We want. Somebody brought a case, and I mean like a 24 bottle case.
Nice.
Of IBC. And I'm like, this looks like real beer. What is this? And I was looking at it. I took a sip. I was like, oh, I am not a root beer guy. I barely like root beer floats, for the record. But if I am somewhere at a party and there's no, you know, real, you know, decent Coke or Pepsi substitute, whatever the drink, and I see IBC, I will throw down the extra money for IBC. And a matter of fact, when I worked at the restaurant I worked at late last year, late 2018, and needed a drink for my meal time, I went out of my way. I actually paid for the beverage because it was IBC root beer.
Nice. Yeah, usually when I'm at a restaurant like Spaghetti Warehouse and IBC root beer is the first thing I see, okay, I'm going to order that. Otherwise, it's a Mountain Dew.
IBC root beer is just about the best thing outside of alcohol that I've ever drank.
Well, I can't say anything about alcohol. I haven't touched that yet, nor a little bit of the bubbly. Sorry.
Yeah, you know what? That's okay. You know what? I almost was going to buy a little bit of the bubbly from Jericho. Then I saw his champagne prices, and I went, you know what, Chris? I'd rather just have Mox smash it over your head again. That's good. Thanks. So, all right. So, Cindy, we all agree it's a holy fuck moment, and you know we watch NXT. These lower thirds are deadly, and no exception here.
Okay, before I get into my I told you so moment, I wanted to piggyback about the match itself, because the only thing we have not talked about during the main event match was the interference between Alexander Wolf and, surprisingly enough, Ilya Dragunov.
Right.
Now, that interference was kind of like the only thing I could remember for this match, because I know, for one thing, what people are going to talk about, like, if there's a memorable moment from that main event match, is just the interference itself and the aftermath, too. So I think that, like, with the interference from Dragunov and Wolf was kind of, like, helping out for the crowd to get things picked up because of the two incredible match. So that's the only thing I can take away for that. Now,
also, keep in mind that Dragunov's interference inadvertently led to Joe Coffey's quote-unquote injury, which played into the finish as well. So,
correct, his knee.
Yep.
That's right. That's right, which we have even talked about it for a bit, too.
So, so Dragunov has now made an enemy of Gallus, which he did not want to do.
Mm. Yeah, a bit impromptu. And here's the thing, to take your quote, Jeff Meacham, great shirt. Here's the thing. Both those men, they wrestle without knee covers and knee pads. Why most wrestlers do. They are pure old school, just British brawlers. And it showed here. But Joe Coffey ended up suffering for it.
Yeah. It's, you know, for the last few weeks, we've seen Dragunov kind of stand side by side with the Coffeys and Wolfgang against Imperium. But, you know, Dragunov's insistence on getting to Alexander Wolf has cost Joe Coffey. So while Imperium moves on to face the Undisputed Era, I think Dragunov's got himself a whole trio of problems.
Yeah, war with Gallus coming, and he's got no backup.
He's got nobody.
Oh, yeah. Nobody at all.
I cut you off. Go ahead.
It's okay. Now to the surprising aftermath, which I call it the I told you so aftermath, because 33 minutes and 42 seconds in on Noah Foster's prediction video with Good Brother Chris and Owen Finch, when Good Brother Chris read the card of, like, well, it was supposed to be like, I thought we were supposed to have a tiebreaker, but we did not have a tiebreaker at all for this NXT prediction league.
Nope.
I stated on that Undisputed Era will come out and make a surprise appearance at NXT UK TakeOver Blackpool 2. Y'all were laughing about what I have to say, and y'all had some doubts. You know what happened afterwards? Undisputed Era came out and attacked them. Man, I was so happy that I had like, I told you so moment, yes. But with that being said, I knew this was going to happen because, like I said, the upcoming World Collide pay-per-view that's going to happen during the Royal Rumble weekend. And I feel that this is like a perfect way just to set up with the upcoming pay-per-view, just to promote itself, to know who is the NXT brand supremacy, like with Imperium with NXT UK brand, and then Undisputed Era with the NXT US brand too. So showing them off and attacking them, I feel it's just the way just to set it up. And plus, let's not forget, they're in kind of like this, I would say like a quarter, we're still in the quarterfinal for the Dusty Road Classic. Am I correct, Jeff?
Believe so.
You're correct, Cindy, because, again, I watch every week, and I'm just going to say this right now. I think both teams are going to cost each other in that.
Indeed. So I think this is like a perfect way just to have that rivalry between Imperium and Undisputed Era alike, just to focus on what's going to happen. But I feel that it's kind of like a bit of shy away for, like, you know, that whole NXT UK stuff that have a little bit going on. But for now, it's just they're just focusing on just that two big event that is currently happening. Dusty Rhodes Classic and the World Collide.
Today's I Told You So segment here on the Jeff Meacham Network was brought to you by Cindy G. You can find Cindy G on Twitter at simply Cindy OK or whatever. Thank you all, and now back to our show. Okay. I got to do something. So, yes. Again, you know, not having watched the NXT show recently because I've been so batshit crazy with work and things, I'm definitely not surprised that at least somebody called Cole and everybody coming out, because like I said on Friday, and I even asked the boys this, are we focusing so much on Worlds Collide that Blackpool is almost an afterthought? And at the time we all agreed, well, no, they're building up Blackpool very well. But at the end of Blackpool, here we are, and we're well into the we're off the races for where's the Rumble?
Worlds Collide, Toyota Center. Royal Rumble's in Texas.
Texas, thank you. Yeah, so we're on the road to Texas now. It's like, you know, we're literally jumping across the pond and starting shit. So here we go. So again, you know, Cindy said I told you so about her thing. I told the boys so. Blackpool was a great show, but the lasting impression is we're headed for Worlds Collide.
Yep.
So
yes,
Blackpool is now, you know, I mean, as we tape this, we're an hour removed from the show, and Blackpool is already an afterthought because off we go. So I hate to say I told you so, guys, but it is my network, and Cindy already beat me to it, but I did tell you guys so. So
you both told me so. So, hey, credit to you both.
So there you go. So with that being said, we've gone almost an hour, and I'm going to call an audible and say I'm not going to include this as part of a double segment show and have an Impact review. If I get to watch Impact, I will do it on its own. I will have it up Tuesday, maybe Tuesday morning before Impact airs on Access. That way it's a Impact day. But also Tuesday I'm having, and Cindy knows this, I don't know if Noah has saw the tweets yet or not, Zicky Dice is going to be on one-on-one. So
nice.
Outlandish
Zicky Dice. That's right. The next time we see him on pay-per-view, he may be the next World Television Champion. So, you know, there you go.
My money's on the question mark.
You know what? I was going to say the exact same thing, only because Stevens is doing such a good job as the third degree national champion, and his shtick with question mark is just killer. I dig it the most. And when I first saw the gimmick, and I know exactly who it is, I'm not going to break kayfabe for people who it is. You can go on Wikipedia and look it up yourselves, folks. But I thought, this is not going to work, because the character he originally portrayed was so intense and so who that character is. But the question mark is really getting over. I'm impressed.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I'm still laughing at the Mongrovian national anthem trying to see
it. Dude, what? Okay. I was on Twitter. I got home from my sister's Saturday night after my niece's party, and just going through Twitter, and the NWA Twitter posted a clip of the Mongrovian National Anthem, and Aaron Stevens, without missing a beat, goes, "The NWA has done more to promote Mongrovian culture than anybody in this country, and it really, really, and really is. I really am impressed," or something like that. I'm like, God damn it, Aaron, really. He's just completely deadpan, completely in the moment. We talk about Joe Coffey and them being old school with the knee pads and everything. Aaron Stevens is a great example of an old school classic wrestler character.
Absolutely, 100%.
And it just goes to show that the WWE does not know what they have when they have it, because that guy could have been the guy if they just tweaked it enough to Vince's liking and still kept the dynamics of the character. Because as great as the Damian Sandow character was, he's only tweaked it a little bit to add the quote-unquote thespian actor part of it, and now the question mark karate part of it.
Brilliant.
And it's working. Anyway, again, we're going to go over Hard Times for sure on one of my prediction shows or one of my panels. Probably, I think the Friday it actually is going to air, I'm going to be posting that morning, Meech's Roundtable, predicting either the weekend as a whole or definitely NWA, because I don't, you know, I love the Rumble, and I know Greg loves the Rumble. I think we're going to have a Rumble prediction show separately, but I really want to predict Hard Times because I'm really looking forward to it, and I will definitely enlist I will solicit other panelists. But again, we're off into the weeds. Off we go. X-Pac is proud of me somewhere for all this going into the weeds on my show like he does on his show. Thank you both for being on. I appreciate it, Cindy. I've wanted to work with you again for a long time. We got to do some videos for Survivor Series a couple years ago, and it was a wonderful experience, and I'm definitely glad to have you back on. Noah, I think we've been on one panel period together total, and this makes two, and I'm glad we're going to be working together more often.
Absolutely. This was an extremely fun.
Yeah. And Cindy, we need to find a way to get you closer to SoCal, me closer to NorCal, to go grab a bite to eat or a drink or something more often, because this sucks.
Oh, indeed. Especially if there's going to be like a major independent wrestling show in SoCal, because my goal is I want to go to like a PWG show one day and just with me and my friends, and then we can definitely meet you, have lunch before heading out or anything in particular.
And I let me preface this by saying this. I don't discount anybody paying what they pay for independent shows, and I don't discourage anybody from going to independent wrestling shows, because the independent wrestling scene, especially here in California, especially here in Southern California, is so strong and so prevalent, and I'm all about support indie wrestling. However, if I'm going to pay $90 to $100 for a wrestling show in Southern California, I'm going to go to a WWE or WrestleMania. I'm not going to go to PWG for $100. I'm just not going to do it. So,
okay.
So, and from what I keep hearing, and again, this is just me, you know, knowing people in Inglewood and knowing people at the T-Mobile Arena in Vegas, and one of those two cities is going to be in WrestleMania in the next 2 years.
Nice.
I am all about a 45-minute drive down the 405 for WrestleMania, as opposed to a cross-country flight to see it.
So.
Lucky. Lucky, dang it, lucky.
Hey, you know what? It was funny. I was just talking about this with my parents before we came in to record this. My first live WWF TV show that was on, it was a non-house show, was WrestleMania 2000. And
wow.
That was 20 years ago. And that frightens the hell out of me that I was in my senior year of high school, my junior year of high school 20 years ago. I feel so old. And prior to that, I'd been to four house shows, three from the WWF and one from WCW. And three out of the four shows featured Hulk Hogan, and two of the four shows featured Hulk Hogan versus Ric Flair. So it had been a long time coming for me to see a live televised event. It just happened to me that WrestleMania came to town at what was then the Arrowhead Pond of Anaheim.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, sometimes you get lucky. I can get that. I mean, hopefully after college is done, maybe within the next 2 years, I can actually make a trip to come see on Cali and hang out with you and do a wrestling show. I would love to do that.
I would love nothing more than a major wrestling event bringing the No DQ team and the Aftermatch team and everybody else in my circle of wrestling people together, because it, you know, for a guy that, you know, started out in 2000 really going more often and then didn't miss a WWF trip when they came out here for the next whatever it was 4 or 5 years, you know, it sucks being stuck up here near Six Flags with nowhere to go and nothing to do except you know, be in my little studio here. So I'd love to get out. So I'd love to have you guys along for the ride. So with that being said, at 55:37, for listening to this, I guess I'll call it Talk Wrestling for now. We'll see what I end up posting on the description when it goes up. But Cindy, thank you. Noah, thank you. And we will see you guys next time here on the Jeff Me Gem Network.